There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org. LutheranFCU.org. When the issue of selective service and women in combat came together, I knew that it was going to be something controversial. Why do Lutherans care especially about this subject of female draft registration? We're going to be talking about that with Dr. Corey Moss for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. He's Associate Professor of History at Hillsdale College and author of a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled Lutherans Arm Up to Defend Women. Dr. Moss, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
Why do Lutherans care about women in combat or the selective service being mandatory for women?
Yeah, it's a good question because I suppose historically there are a lot of political and public policy issues that Lutherans don't care about, or at least don't care about enough to, you know, pass resolutions by overwhelming majorities in conventions. I think the answer to this question might come in several different ways. A number of the resolutions proposed to the convention, you know, point out that there seems to be a clear, you know, sort of biblical as well as, you know, kind of secular argument for not forcing women to participate in combat. And so if nothing else, this is simply a reiteration of what Lutherans and I think most Christians have always held.
So what exactly did the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod say, and as you said, by a rather large margin last week about the issue?
Well, they said a couple of things. It's a fairly nuanced resolution. It does not, you know, make an outright condemnation of women participating in the military or even women serving in combat, although there were some people that had hoped that would be the final resolution. Instead, it simply notes that there is, you know, sufficient warrant in Scripture to reach a conclusion that women ought not to serve in combat or perhaps serve in the military at all and therefore not be required to register for selective service in a possible draft. And so it kind of, you know, sets down a marker in such a way as to say that, you know, should this proposed law that's kind of making its way through Congress and perhaps ultimately to the president's desk, you know, should this law take effect, the Missouri Synod will recognize and will support its members who have a conscientious objection to serving in the military or registering for the draft.
Back up and kind of lay it out for us. What is the current state of affairs when it comes to both women in combat and the registration for the draft?
Yeah, there are two separate questions. So the one that's already been decided is the question of women in combat. Last December, Secretary of Defense Ash Carter announced that, you know, all military positions would be opened to women, and that did include combat positions. There was a bit of controversy over that. The Marine Corps, for example, requested an exemption, which was ultimately denied. So it is now the case that all positions in the United States military are open to women on a voluntary basis. What's not yet decided is a bill that was approved in the Senate that would require women, beginning in January of 2018, to register for selective service. It hasn't been taken up by the House yet, and so it hasn't been signed into law. But it's the sort of thing that, you know, was perhaps inevitable. Already back in the Carter administration, President Carter had suggested that when selective service was reinstituted, that women as well as men be required to register. Congress took up that question and decided that since women were not allowed at the time to serve in combat positions, there was no point in registering them for a potential draft. That ultimately made its way to a Supreme Court case, and the Supreme Court, in its majority, said, well, that's a perfectly logical reason that the Congress has put forward. Because women are not allowed to serve in combat positions, it doesn't make a lot of sense to require them to register for selective service. But since women now are allowed to serve in combat positions, some people felt that it's only a matter of time before they're required to register. And it took less time probably than some people expected.
The general idea of conscientious objection, lay that out for us. What form could that possibly take? A Lutheran says, look, I don't know if I can do this in good conscience. What has the Missouri Synod, in essence, kind of given to back up such a position?
It's, again, a bit nuanced. When we think of conscientious objectors, at least in relatively recent history, we tend to think of the context of the Vietnam War and a kind of philosophy of pacifism in which young men at the time were saying that, I believe that war, period, is unjust, and so I can't in good conscience, participate in a war. The Missouri Synod and Lutheranism more broadly has never agreed with that position on conscientious objection. Lutheranism, including within its official and confessional documents, has embraced the idea that war is sometimes necessary, that the properly constituted authorities, governments, are authorized to participate in just wars, and the citizens of those nations have a right, even as Christians, to participate in armed conflict. So we've never been able to just kind of appeal to a broad pacifist objection the way that perhaps, the Amish could. But we have recognized that there's a distinction between just wars and unjust wars. And so an individual cannot be obligated to, participate in a war that is, unjust without, getting into the long-developed criteria for determining what is an unjust or a just war. When this came up in the Missouri Synod back in the 60s, in the context of the Vietnam War, at our convention in Denver, this was taken up, and it was noted that the LCMS recognizes that one can conscientiously object to participation in an unjust war. But at the same time, it recognized that the federal government, the Department of Defense, did not recognize that kind of category of conscientious objection. You could either be a complete pacifist and object to war in all of its forms, or register for the draft and be subject to the draft and possible combat. And that's kind of where things have stood until now.
It also is done, and I think this was noted by Aaron Wolf in a recent article about kind of the more general proceedings of the LCMS convention last week. But he noted that this decision about women in combat was done with a recognition of a broader distinction that Lutherans want to affirm, which is the created distinction between male and female, much broader distinction that is has broader application to talk about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. One of the things that a number of the proposed resolutions sent to Synod touch on is not simply specific passages of scripture that indicate that Israel, for example, only pressed men into combat and never pressed women into combat. But they also note that there is just this kind of broad, pervasive understanding throughout both the Old and New Testament that there is an order of creation or orders of creation, and that men and women, by their very natures, are created differently. And so, for example, it's given to men to lay down their lives for the protection of their wives. It's given to women to bear children and to nurture life. And so there's something perverse, if we can use that term, about perhaps allowing men not to act in a self-sacrificial way while we are asking women to act in a way that they have not been given to behave according to the orders of creation.
And that has very, very broad application, far beyond the subject we're discussing here, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and which is why, I I don't like the kind of culture war language and culture war paradigm, but I think we would be naive to say that this is somehow, you know, abstracted from many of the other, you know, conversations and debates and even arguments that we're having in the United States in the 21st century about, you know, transgenderism and gay rights and, you know, all of these various issues that in some way touch on, you know, what does it mean to be men and women? You know, both created in the image of God, but created differently and created to complement one another.
So two final questions. Has the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod laid down a principle with this particular issue that may help them in the future respond to other issues that touch upon the distinction between male and female?
I think it has, because you know, again, this resolution was relatively narrow, and you know, it's restricted to women whose consciences might be violated by being required to register for the draft. So they're recognizing that, you know, there is a, if you want to use the language, you know, a different standard for men and women. In this particular case, when it comes to, you know, being put in a position to serve in the military or even to serve in a combat role. But, you know, the principle underlying it is the recognition of a fundamental distinction between man and woman.
Many leaders and pastors in the largest Lutheran church body in America, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, might read your column and think, see, we all knew that the Lutheran Church Missouri said it was just a bunch of fundamentalists. How do you respond to that?
Well, I understand that the word fundamentalism and fundamentalist is typically in our day used as a pejorative. But, I mean, if we want to understand it in its most obvious sense, yes, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is committed to the fundamentals. And, you know, orders of creation is, you know, one of the fundamental and, again, pervasive things revealed in Scripture. And so, to be sure, we're fundamentalists in that sense, committed to the fundamentals of which Scripture and its doctrine is foremost.
Dr. Corey Moss is Associate Professor of History at Hillsdale College, author of a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled Lutherans Arm Up to Defend Women. You'll find a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Moss, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that includes a lot more than just bread on the table. Luther, in his explanation, says it includes all that we need to support this body and life, and there's a long chain of provision that God has in place for giving us our daily bread. Pastor Paul McCain will be our guest. We'll continue our series called Worldview Watch with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Had a great start to that last week. And we'll talk with Oz Guinness about the struggle for the soul of civilization. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.